efficiency, which a little bit about myself, I just started sharing what I haven't seen since I was 5 years old when I lived down at Slate Mills. But I grew up in this area. It's special to me. I have a business doing sustainability consulting, and mostly in the area of residential energy efficiency. But I have a graduate degree in city planning, worked in local government for a while, and sort of follow all things green, and have managed to create a business helping homeowners, architects, builders, local governments, community colleges, all sorts of people try and make their buildings more efficient, their plans greener, their businesses more efficient. So really touch a lot of different things. So what I want to talk to you about tonight, I need to speak up?
Yes, you do, please.
Okay, I'm sorry. Residential energy efficiency. I had dinner with Steve and Kay a week ago, and he asked if I could talk. And this, 2.5 years ago, when Barack Obama was running for president, he said a word I'd never heard a presidential candidate say before. That's the word weatherization, which doesn't tend to show up as hot topics or things that really get out the vote or partisan issues or things like that. But to me, it showed what I hoped was a depth of understanding about what government can do that's good, that really has a positive impact on people's lives and on our world and on our nation. The opportunities for energy efficiency in all our structures. I'm going to talk mostly about houses because that's what I know. I've been in off and on in residential construction for 25 years. But the principles apply to all buildings and continue on in other issues. But the opportunities really are huge. And I think progressive people who care about government doing good things and care about the future of our country and care about the future of our planet, this is something that if you understand, this is a winning issue, I think. It really is, because there's so much opportunity out there to cut out waste and to put people to work and to make a greener nation and planet. So it is opportunities for consumers. I'm not too fond of that word, and for businesses and for our country and for the planet. So I'm going to do 3 hour-and-a-half presentations in 20 minutes, and because I have so much I want to share with you, but I think it's because you all, I'm sure, know a little bit about this or a lot based on your business or your background or interest. Yet I find there are so many. There's a lot of people know some of the pieces, but putting it all together eludes a lot of people, and a lot of people mean well. And I really want people to be able to put that all together so that they can make coherent arguments and hopefully end up in good policies. So, energy efficiency. A lot of people think about green building. What is green building? Well, it's not just recycled plastic carpet or healthy paint or recycled wood countertops. It's all these things, and something that is greener is trying to maximize all kinds of green parameters: energy efficiency, healthiness in the building, overall and environmental responsibility. And when you do all these things, you really do make occupants healthier, happier, smarter, richer, more neighborly, and better looking. It's true. People think of green building, they think of wacky looking houses designed by great architects, Pritzker Prize winner here from Australia, zero energy building. Doesn't have to look like that. It can look like the house next door. First principle of green building is the landscape, is the site, and not having to drive everywhere. That's something we have in America a real problem with, and in this community a real problem with, because obviously we all drove here. So it's interesting to see there is a bike rack out front. Charlotte, downtown mall in Charlottesville, revitalization of public space. One of the best spaces in Virginia, hands down, I'd say. brand new urban development in Atlanta, Georgia. Energy, Earthcraft rated new housing. And by having denser housing, we avoid billion-dollar interchanges or paving over the best agricultural land on the planet. That's north end of the Woodrow Wilson Bridge. That's Blackland Prairie of East Texas. Sprawl costs a lot more to households. We put a lot more in our gas and a lot more gas in our tanks than the people who live downtowns. Compact development reduces tax burden. It's you know, if you can have five people on 1/4 mile of sewer pipe, it's a lot more efficient than having one person on 5 miles of sewer pipe. When you're talking about the site, then it'll boil down to, well, if you're talking about an individual house and making that greener, how can you use landscaping and elements of the site to reduce energy use in your building? There are lots of opportunities for that. Then the big one, energy. I tend to talk about energy day and night because it's what saves people money. So people are interested in that. It's the greenest thing you can do because most of our energy comes from coal. And you're talking about electricity, coal or petroleum. There you go. If you can reduce the use of that, that's about the greenest thing you can do. So that's just, it tends to be a win-win for the environment and for people. And there are so many ways to make houses so much, to use so much less energy. It starts with basics like tight envelopes, great insulation, high-performance appliances. I say I'm in green building and people want to start talking about solar panels and geothermal heat pumps. I want to talk about insulation and weatherization, the basics, the cheap stuff, where you get your most bang for your buck. What we haven't done, what I'll get to, in this country. A lot of people think we have. We think our houses are insulated. They're not. Your houses aren't insulated. This is a slide showing where the, you're talking about an energy building, energy efficient building, tight envelopes was the first one. Here's a diagram from the EPA talking about where are our drafts. When we think about drafts in our house, we think about the doors and the windows. There are a lot of other places. Holes in the ceiling is a big problem. Go in your house and look up and look at the can lights and the HVAC vents and all the penetrations in the ceiling. That's where the warm air goes. Warm air rises, you put a hole in your ceiling, the warm air goes out. Warm air goes out, cold air comes in down low. It's that simple, but we as a nation, as a home building industry, have not figured that out, that basic thing. Where does your money go? About half, in this climate, goes to heating and cooling. And we put a lot more energy into heating, 3 or 4 times more here in Virginia than cooling. You know, another basic fact to sort of keep straight. We're a heating-dominated climate right here. Water heating, huge. Refrigerators, the other big one. And appliances and lighting and gadgets are the ones that are creeping up. Steve sent me an article on this. There was an article in Mother Jones just recently comparing while we have gotten a lot more efficient in heating and cooling, we plugged in so many more things, it's basically destroyed our gains. Renewable energy. Those are big parts of energy. Wind, solar. But here's the water. Yeah, I lived in Texas for a while, and the old saying in Texas was, whiskey is for drinking, water is for fighting over. Water is going to be the next huge issue. And a lot of places, the droughts in Atlanta a few years ago, a lot of Fredericksburg, people are up in Berryville and Winchester a few years ago, people are really seeing the pressure on water resources. Anyone know what this is?
Oh, is that a toilet?
It's a dual flush toilet. Lever. You got number one and number two.
You know? What does that refer to?
It's one pint,
oh, no,
one pint or 1 gallon. How much water you need to empty the bowl, you know? Standard equipment in Australia. Around here, we can, you know, go to Lowe's and try and buy one. Something so simple, so basic, so smart. we can't get our heads wrapped around it. Green materials, I'm gonna move kind of fast here. Healthiness of buildings, I like this slide. So the Carpet and Rug Institute, an industry group, has a label for their green preferred card. And it has maximum amounts for these 13 chemicals. Now, you have a granddaughter. Rolling around, likes to play on the floor, roll around the carpet. What's her maximum exposure to these 13 chemicals? You know? Why any when there are completely natural alternatives out there? We are performing this incredible experiment with our planet and our bodies with the introduction of tens of thousands of chemicals that we don't understand, and we don't understand how they interact with each other. And, you know, after global warming, this is, you know, who knows, in 5 years this could be a bigger story than climate change. Because it's an experiment just like what we're doing to the climate. We don't know what we're doing. We can build much healthier houses and schools where you get 20% improved test scores because students have access to full spectrum light and clean air. What your brain needs every second, those things, that's what makes the kids smart, that's what makes the teachers smart. It's workplace is more productive. It's common knowledge, but we don't do it, by and large. Okay, so that's your crash course in green building. Now, so what about existing houses? People are, if I were building a new house, I'd do it all right, I'd do all those things, great. Well, okay. We got 100 million existing houses out there. That's the opportunity. That's the big opportunity for energy savings and for job creation. So I did a presentation at last fall at the energy conference in Richmond, explaining residential energy auditing as job creation. It was, you know, it's all jobs. We're creating jobs. So I can't really see this slide so well. Everyone knows you need good insulation in your attic. Right? Everybody knows that? You need, just like you put a hat on your head in the winter when you go outside, you need good insulation in your attic. I've been in a lot of houses, and one in 500 has adequate insulation in the attic. Or one in 1,000, maybe. Basically none. Every single house I audit needs better insulation in the attic. Every single one. And the people who call me for an audit, they're people who have disposable money to spend on something crazy like an energy audit. These are people who know better. But it's something we don't quite understand. So these are, can I turn down the light?
Yeah.
They can see this a little better.
That's good.
So these are just pictures of that. If you know anything about construction, this is a 2x4 bottom row of an attic truss. So that is 3.5 inches high. The top part of it is showing above the insulation, meaning that the insulation is about 3 inches deep. Okay? This is loose cellulose insulation. A lot of you probably have it in your attics. Some of you probably have 3 inches or less in your attic, which equates to about R13. R is how we measure the thermal resistance of insulation. A higher number is better. Department of Energy for this climate recommends R49. Mm-hmm. So this is about, do the math, less than a third. And here we're just looking at bare drywall, there's nothing. And big cracks in the framing where warm air is sneaking out. Warm air sneaking out your ceiling. It's this simple, boring thing. It's of global importance. It really is. Again, up in attics, I'm up in the attic, I'm looking at the attic floor. And what I'm concerned about, because before you add insulation, you have to stop all those air leaks. And part of the air leaks are around wires coming out, they're around recessed lights, plumbing, all these holes that are coming up through the attic floor. Bath fans. And then, you know, you send guys up there to work and they push the insulation out of the way and they do what they need to do and they leave. Do they put the insulation back? Never. Never. And so, 40 years later, it's There you go. Same thing. Exposed can lights.
What can you do with those?
Well, the new ones are approved for, you can buy ones that are IC rated, insulation contact. So you can stack the insulation around them. And the better new ones are also airtight. So you can pile insulation around them and not worry about anything.
Where do you buy the airtight ones?
Lowe's, Home Depot, wherever. They're out there.
So that's a bathroom fan?
That is a recessed light, a can light. Yeah, I mean, 40 years ago, we didn't have these at all. Now, I go into houses and there's 80 of them. And every one, we had a nice airtight ceiling and we made it Swiss cheese. And all the air goes out. So I go into attics and here's a giant hole all the way to the basement. And there's the ductwork. And it's an open chimney. Warm air rushing out. This, again, is showing about 3.5 inches worth of, this is former city manager, I shouldn't tell stories, but some of these are your friends and neighbors. Some are city managers, some are council members. And then there's new housing. So this is a house I went into. They had just paid for 10.25 inches of cellulose. Inspector had approved it, contractor was happy. Everyone's happy. I go up in the attic. It's not 10.25 inches. They paid for, which is R38, which is the code minimum. 7 inches, 8 inches, dies out at the edge. This is supposed to be 10.25 inches. That's 8 inches tall. It's not covered. New construction, big holes. Sorry to say, insulators, except with few exceptions, do not know their business. They don't know what delivers performance. I wish it weren't so. Throw in there, and most HVAC contractors, and if you're hiring a builder who's supposedly managing this whole thing, and he or she is not getting those other people to really deliver quality, he doesn't know his business. Problem is, it's as complex and difficult and high tech a business as running a chip plant. People don't realize that, but home building is high tech, and it's complicated, and it's difficult, and you got to do it in the rain when it's freezing cold, and two of your guys didn't show up because they're hungover. And it's a tough business, but again, opportunity, national opportunity. There are lots of exceptions out there. There's some great builders out there, but there's a lot of problems out there in this industry. So this is a little diagram to show you, as warm air goes out, cold air sneaks in. Even if the wind's not blowing, you have drafts. It's called the stack effect, convective currents, warm air rising. Warm air is rising everywhere all the time. It's happening right here in this room. There's higher air pressure up at the ceiling than down here. And that air wants to sneak out, and cold air comes in from somewhere else. Happens everywhere all the time. This slide, they just need to put this on the side of all the insulation trucks. 3% void can reduce your effectiveness by R38. Any inspector goes into a house, looks around, sees, R38 bad up there. There's 5, 6, 7, 8% missing. Check, insulated, good to go. But the insulator has not delivered performance. The homeowner is not getting what they bought and paid for. And their electricity bills are higher, and we have to build more coal plants and blow up more mountains in West Virginia. That's how it happens. So, lots of houses in this country that need this. Duct leakage. Here's another one. So you insulated well, but you've got ducts up in the attic or in a crawl space, and they look like this. This is a house in Amosville. See, it's just blowing its air into the crawl space. That doesn't do you any good. It's a vented crawl. It's outside. It's uninsulated, and it's outside. Insanely inefficient. New house in Arlington, big holes in the ductwork in the attic. a garden apartment in Sterling. I happened to bump this and it just came right apart. This is the plenum up in the attic and a branch duct. New house in Culpeper off Virginia Avenue. They stuck a vent. They were conditioning the attic. I could not understand this at all. Brand new house. Brand new. I was doing an inspection. They want this house Energy Star certified. And I look up at the ceiling. What's this stuff? It's fiberglass insulation in the ductwork. You think they have duct leakage? How did the insulation get in the ductwork? They install the ductwork months before they install that attic insulation. Attic of a town councilman in Culpeper, former. Giant, wide open between the air handler and the major duct, just blowing all its air into the attic. This is the state of our housing, folks. Brand new house, they sealed everything else. They left this big hole right here. The difference, you know, I mean, you want to improve the efficiency of your heating and cooling system 30% real quick, seal your ductwork. On average, duct systems in the U.S. leak 15 to 20% of the air to the outside. Every dollar you put into your heat pump or furnace, 15, 20 cents just out the door on average. Okay, so what can we do with our existing houses? Well, here's a list I put together for thinking about. I'm an average homeowner. I want to know what to do to make my home more efficient. And, you know, light bulbs, we've had a huge campaign in this region over the last 5 years, 4 years, about changing light bulbs. Well, it makes a big difference. It really does. But there are an awful lot of people out there who still, you know, this is some drop-in from Mars that they just can't get their head wrapped around. All it does is save money. A lot of businesses. I was with the credit union in Culpeper. They leave at 5 o'clock, they turn on two giant incandescent spotlights right at the front door, and they burn 300 watts from Friday at 5 to Monday at 8, full daylight. Just, you know, energy is cheap. Energy is incredibly cheap in this country, and we throw it away as fast as we can. That's what we do.
How available are the LEDs?
Not as much. They're out there. They're very expensive. A lot of folks say they're not quite ready for prime time.
Lowe's just got some within the last month.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're coming out, and they're in all the you know, fancy magazines. All the architects' magazines are all about LEDs. And I'm sure there's some good ones out there. I couldn't tell you which is which, but you know, it uses a tenth of the energy currently, if they'll last. And there's just like there's been problems. I mean, you all probably bought some of these in 95, mm-hmm. and it lasted a month, mm-hmm. or it, you know, I paid $13 and 2 months later it was dead, but I kept trying because I thought it was the right thing to do. And now I've got some that are, you know, I installed them 4 years ago and still work fine. So, but like any, you know, like anything, this is part of the problem with so-called, you know, green products. They're green lemons just like they're non-green lemons, you know? You could buy a new Prius and it's a lemon. When your buddies is going, right? Well, same with light bulbs, same with heat pumps, same with all this stuff. Doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, you didn't quit driving because you bought a car and it was a lemon. No, you went and found a better one. Well, you can do the same with light bulbs. Phantom load. I had a friend who in Brandy Station who, she had a big house and lots of kids, and one day she said, she went around, she unplugged everything. And there was what, I mean, granted, this was an exception. And she had a bunch of exercise equipment. This is when you turn something off and it's just on standby. It's still drawing up to 70% of the power it uses when it's on. And these use a lot of power. Her next month, her electric bill is $60 less. She didn't have to put on a sweater. She didn't have to take a shorter shower. She didn't have to do any of these terrible things, you know, that are unthinkable to the average American in the name of conservation. She just had to unplug the stuff that she wasn't even using. There's, you know, easy savings, big opportunity.
I have a question about...
Yes.
If you have computers hooked up to a surge protector, which is in essence a power strip, and you turn it off,
yes,
does that still protect your equipment from a power surge?
Yeah, because there's a breaker in the power strip. That's the best thing you can do. You're using that power strip to cut off everything at once, so you don't have to find a dozen buttons. And they're all going through that power strip, so you get the surge protection element out of it.
Thank you.
Let's hold the rest of our questions for about 8 minutes, and then we'll finish up with them.
Okay. I'm doing it. I'm doing 3 hour and a half. We're 20% into the third one. Believe it or not. But you know, printers. How many? At your office right now, is the printer on?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. And how many watts does it use when it's just? It maybe has a sleep function, so it'll go to sleep. A lot of the new stuff does. But not all of it. And a lot of printers, you know, you bought it 6 years ago. It's just the printer. It sits there, on, 24/7. There's a lot of opportunity here. Big televisions, big energy draw. Back to drafts. It's the most boring stuff. It ain't sexy. But this is, you know, you want to be green, you want to... And it's not about, whenever you see something about weatherization or stopping drafts, they show someone outside of your house caulking around a window, siding. That's not, we need to be on the inside, sealing around can lights and around bath fans. That's the air sealing that needs to be done. You know, it's a Saturday afternoon and $15 worth of caulk to cut your energy bill by 5-10%. You never know. Where are the air leaks? Everyone's worried about their windows and their doors. Well, they're mostly just worried about their windows. Doors are bigger, a bigger source of air leakage, on average, according to the Department of Energy. Fireplaces, on average, are even more. 14% of air leakage. The big one, what you thought of as your house, the box. Air doesn't go through the box. Air goes through the holes, the windows. No. There are so many holes in our walls, in our ceilings, in the floors. Plumbing penetrations. Open up your sink. Look under there. There's a hole in the drywall where the pipes go in. Warm air. And remember, there's convective currents happening all the time. That hole in the drywall, I think of it as a hole in the skin. And once you put a hole in the skin, warm air is either going to be coming in or going out, based on the stack effect in that house. On average, that's more cost effective than sealing up all your windows. Who knew? Here's a huge one. If you have ductwork in your attic, do this Saturday. Pull off the register and seal that metal boot to the drywall. Because it's nice and warm in here, and the warm air, if that's not sealed, the warm air sneaks right between the drywall and the metal boot. Because there's a gap there. They had to cut a hole in the drywall to get that boot through. All it takes is painter's caulk, pull the register off, and it does two things. When your furnace or air handler is not running, warm air is always trying to sneak out. When that thing's running, some of it hits the grill and bounces right back up there, and it's duct leakage. You know, I mean, you just paid to make that nice warm air, and it just got bounced right back into your attic. There could be insulation stacked all around there. Fiberglass, cellulose, those aren't air barriers. Fiberglass is an air filter, right? In your car, the air filter is made out of fiberglass. We use it to clean the particles out of air, air as it's passing through. If we did this in every house in the country, it'd be made. We could take 5 power plants offline like that. We could. That's for real. Attic hatches, yes.
There is a cost involved.
Well, see, this cost you $15, and Mitzi, I don't want you up on the ladder, so you're gonna have to pay someone to get up on the ladder. But get one of your younger friends around here to get up on the ladder. You can hold the ladder for them, and then go help. Then go hold the ladder for them at their house. There is, so far, what have we spent? We've changed light bulbs and spent $60. We've unplugged things and spent $0. We've bought some caulk and some canned foam and spent $60. And maybe we're paying someone to do this and spent $200. Well, we've already cut our energy bill 10, 15, 20%, depending on the house. Well, cut our heating cooling bill, which is about half of your energy bill on average. So yes, there is a cost. That's absolutely true. But it is an investment, and right now we're on about 100% return on our investment annually. Where else, you're not going to make that kind of money anywhere else these days. That's why this is the lowest hanging fruit. I'm going through 10, my top 10. Other people will have similar ones, different ones. The most cost effective ways to cut energy use in existing houses. It's a opportunity for you and your house. It's an opportunity for local businesses, because you can hire, this work can't be outsourced. It's not going to Mexico or China or anywhere else. It's putting people to work right here. It's not highly skilled. It's putting, there is some skill, and that's the problem in home building, is we've hired a lot of people with very little skills or very little investment in what they're doing because they weren't getting paid enough to care. You know, that's why we pay the titans of finance hundreds of millions of dollars a year, so they'll really care, so they'll do a really good job with the national finances, right? So we need to pay our insulators and our air sealers just as much, so they'll take care of our houses just as much. Here's another one. Attic hatch. Pull down stairs or a little hatch. It's a door to an unconditioned space. It's just like your front door. It needs to be weather stripped and insulated. And I've been in 200-year-old houses, brand new million-dollar houses, and it's a piece of drywall. And laying over here on the side somewhere is a bat of insulation that somehow you're supposed to put in this hole once you're down here with that door shut. Familiar scenario? Yeah. Adding some foam board and some weather stripping, it's $20 or less worth of material, and anyone can do it. Simple stuff, big opportunities. Can lights. Now, if you have an old can light that's not IC rated, you actually have to build a box around it, and it becomes kind of a pain and kind of a hazard. So those can be trickier. So my top 10, change light bulbs, stop phantom load, stop the draft. Number 4, get a home energy audit. Like I was saying, houses are complicated. There's a lot of things going on. There's safety issues. This is not to be self-serving. Hire anybody, don't hire me, but hire someone to come in your house and get some professional advice about how your house works. Think about your car. What do you spend on maintenance on your car a year? You have a mechanic who looks at it and tells you what's going on. Yeah, I mean, maybe 35 years ago you changed oil in your car. Today, do you know where the oil filter is? I don't. You got to hire a professional. Well, our houses are kind of the same way. They're not the houses that our grandfathers built. They're different. They're very different. And even if it is the same building, we've stuck all this high-tech equipment in there, so it behaves differently. So at some point, you got to call in a pro. Insulate properly. I showed you all those slides of all those attics. That's where, if you have a flat attic floor with 2 or 3 or 4 or 8 inches of insulation in it. First, you want to stop the leaks, you want to seal the attic floor, and then you want to pile on about 6 inches of loose cellulose, which is recycled newspaper. It's a great product. pilot them. Very cost effective, you know. You're talking a 1 to 2 year payback for lots of houses, 3 or 4. Where, 4 years, where else are you gonna get 25% on your money? And do the planet a favor, and put some of your friends and neighbors to work. You saw this slide. Here's what, there's 90 million houses in this country that need this. Simple stuff. Band joists, another leaky spot. I'm gonna skip through. So there's our list. We did light bulbs, fan loads, drafts, get an audit, fix your insulation. Now duct leakage can be terrible, but it can be more difficult to address. That's why I put it down farther. It's more expensive to have one fix your ducts than it is to do this. This is pretty cheap. I mean, look at it. It's not much to it. But you had to air seal first. This is why a lot of people paid for this and they didn't get the performance, because the insulator didn't know, hey, if I don't stop the air leaks, it doesn't matter what I mean, this will help, but it could be a lot better. You saw this, so ducts up in attics, unconditioned space. Any holes in that system, the air goes to the attic. Lost, your money, gone. Vented crawl spaces, which are a holdover, which are a theory that does, that is, we need conditioned crawl spaces so that the air, when it leaks into conditioned space. So a few slides of disastrous duct leakage up in attics. The design, I get lots of new house plans, and I look at the plans from good architects. Where's the ductwork go? That's left for the guys in the field to figure out. The single largest system in the house, hundreds of yards of ductwork. Where the plans don't, they just assume someone's going to figure that out. It needs to be integrated into the whole plan for the house. How are we heating and cooling it, and where is that equipment going? Brand new heat pumps are amazing technology. Just like those screw-in light bulbs were really bad back in the 90s, or maybe your cell phone or car phone didn't work so well in the early 90s, and your heat pump didn't work well, today's heat pumps are different animals. And a lot of people who swore them off 15 years ago, you might think again. It really is a much more efficient way to heat and cool houses in this climate. Appliances. Now, a lot of people know you're shopping for a fridge or a dishwasher or something, look for the Energy Star label. Well, that's just a start. Energy Star label for a ceiling fan or a dishwasher just means it's 10, 15, 20% more efficient than the federal minimum standard. Now, there's equipment out there that's 100% more efficient than the federal standard. I mean, much, much more. It's Energy Star, just like the one that's only 15% more efficient. So you got to look at the energy specs when you're shopping this stuff. And, you know, it's one more thing as consumers have to become expert in. You're expert in your cell phones and in how many gigabytes your laptop has and all these millions of things. Well, this is one more thing to study up on when you're replacing these things. But there's a real opportunity to get super efficient stuff. Not just, I mean, Energy Star to me is just a minimum. You have to look at the specs. You know, today, if they had Energy Star for cars, 33 miles per gallon would probably be Energy Star, right? And who has a car here that it gets 45 miles per gallon or better? Well, there you go. It has the same, it would have the same sticker on it. Renewable energy. If you want to get into renewable energy, solar water heating would be the most cost effective in this climate. It's 19th century technology, folks. It's leaving a garden hose in the yard in July with water in it. You cut it on and it's scalding when it comes out. That's, go to anywhere else in the world, go to Japan or Germany or Israel or Jamaica, look up on the rooftops. There's a black box making hot water. It's simple technology. We could be doing a lot more of it in this country. And last, my list of the 10 best energy efficiency improvements for your house, last is windows. Most people, it's the first thing they think of. And in some houses, yes, it's warranted. But not many at all. And then again, when you're shopping windows, look at this. This is the sticker in the window when you're buying a new car. It's the same thing on windows. And they tell you the thermal performance, solar heat gain, etc. And you want to shop based on those specs just as much as the appearance and other features. There you go. Question. And to put this in context, it really is an opportunity. I'm out there every day and I see, and I do audits, I do some teaching, I call it the professionalization of our construction industry, because a lot of it really isn't. And we've gotten used to just paying a lot. And if energy were more expensive, we'd be throwing a fit, because we've got these huge houses now and they just bleed energy. But the truth is, with some very simple stuff, right? I showed you some simple things. I didn't say, switch out all the equipment or put $40,000 worth of photovoltaics on the roof. Just do simple stuff. It can make a difference. It'll make you more comfortable. It'll lower your bills. It'll put your friends and neighbors to work. And it hopefully will send a message to people who say that, energy efficiency isn't worth investing in, and we just need to blow up more mountaintops in West Virginia and burn oil from natural gas from our coastlines. And there's all that is just completely irrelevant compared to what we could do with energy efficiency. Yes?
Andrew, what do you think of on-demand water meters?
They're one of those silver bullets that came out. They came to the U.S. 15-odd years ago, they've been trickling in for a long time, but 10, 15 years ago, they were the next big thing. Point-of-source water heaters. If you've traveled in Europe or Japan, you open the counter under the sink, and there's a little water heater. Heats the water right then and there, not half a mile away in the basement. Depending on the use, they can be great. If you're a family of five and someone's home washing clothes and dishes all day, not going to be cost effective. If you're an older couple, empty nesters, gone weekends, working all day, probably real smart. So it depends on the use. Like everything in life, there's very few hard rules. The details, the context matters. But they can be a great solution. And we need more of them, frankly. Yes?
Well, I have two questions. What about putting a timer on your hot water?
Sure.
So it turns off at night and comes on 6 o'clock in the morning or something?
A 10 to 9 hour window is not going to make much difference. But that old myth of it takes more to heat it up than to leave it running. Basic physics, delta T, anyone remember that from the difference in temperature between two areas? If you got a hot object and a cool object, they're trying to equalize all the time. The heat is moving to the cool to equalize. And the greater the difference between the two, the faster you're going to lose that heat. So the hotter that thing stays, the faster it loses the heat. It's just BTUs. You can count them in and out. And so if this starts to cool down, it's going to lose BTUs more slowly. And you still, at the end, you just had to put that many more BTUs back into it to get it hot again. So if you're gone for the weekend, by all means, cut it off. Overnight, the principle applies, but you're going to be saving tens of BTUs rather than hundreds or thousands.
I was also curious about the house in Australia that you showed. It seemed to be on, not on a solid foundation, but it was on stilts.
Right.
Is that because it was a hot climate and they wanted the air to circulate?
That is a that was a very mild climate, and that house had absolutely no mechanical heating or cooling. It was that's an extreme example. Yeah. But it was a passive solar design. It got in the winter, it needed some heat, but facing the equator, so facing north there, the sunlight streaming in those north-facing windows provided all the heating it needed. And because it was so open and there were breezes there, even though it had fairly warm summers, those natural forces kept it cool. Yes, sir?
Well, political question.
Excellent. I was just going to say, so what does this mean for national policy?
You know, I am puzzled, and maybe I haven't been keeping up with it, but I don't think the Democrats have done very much with this kind of energy conservation and weatherization.
Use
the
word
once. What's going on in your estimation with this is such an obvious job creator and an energy saver.
Yeah.
My son does energy audits up in Massachusetts.
Excellent.
We're just puzzling about where are the Democrats on this? We know the Republicans don't give much of a damn, so where are we?
Last summer, if you followed it, there was this program called Homestar, which was going to be a big federal energy retrofit initiative that tried to get attached to a couple of bigger bills and just didn't happen. And there is still the vice president's task force on the jobs or recovery through retrofit is still a program or a buzzword that's being kicked around. So they're still talking about it. And frankly, the Department of Energy they got a lot of money with the Recovery Act and with regular funding in the first few months of the Obama administration. There was a huge shot in the arm for this then. The federal low-income weatherization program, which since the Carter administration has provided basic weatherization for people who make less than 25% of area median income. On average, they save their clients about 30% on their heating and cooling bills, again, with basic stuff. The Bush administration was cutting that completely. The Obama administration raised their budget by an order of magnitude. So they've seen a huge boost. So through the Department of Energy and through more of the bureaucratic channels and through the Recovery Act, there's been a lot of investment in this. Has it really gotten out into the mainstream media or really the national agenda? Not so much. And Energy and Homestar didn't go anywhere. But I don't know why. I mean, to me, it's so simple and easy, and all you're saving money, and you're putting people to work, and you pull the energy security card, and just it's like it's a winner in every way. But I don't know. They're not, you know, maybe most people aren't that enthusiastic. Or are confused. You know, that's what I run into a lot. People are confused about this.
Any other questions? All right. Well, thank you, Andy.
Yeah.